Most revealingly, he writes to his grandson in 1808 that at 14 years of age, the whole care and direction of myself was thrown on myself entirely without a relation or friend qualified to advise or guide me. So when Jefferson's father died at 14 and he became dependent on his mother's will, he didn't see her as qualified to guide him and clearly resented the authority she had. Well, why is this significant? Because his mother may have represented to him, may have symbolized aristocracy, something with which he'll grapple and have great hostility all his life. Certainly, it's possible that his mother may have been the source of his hostility to women in positions of authority. For example, in 1788, he writes to George Washington that the French attempts at reform will never succeed because of a peculiar influence. I mean the influence of women in the government. The manners of the nation allow them to visit alone all persons in office, to solicit the affairs of the husband, family, or friends, and the solicitations bid defiance to laws and regulations. At the same time, he writes to Anne Bingham, a married woman whom he had some friendship with. You, too, have had your political fever, but our good ladies, I trust, have been too wise to wrinkle their foreheads with politics. They are content to soothe and calm the minds of their husbands, returning ruffled from political debate. And perhaps most revealing of all is his account of the causes of the French Revolution. He sees King Louis XVI as essentially a virtuous man, patriotic, but weak of character. The villain in his piece is Marie Antoinette. I have ever believed that had there been no queen, there would have been no revolution. No force would have been provoked, nor exercised. Okay, that's Jefferson's childhood. That's what we can evoke from his experience of his early years. When we turn from that to his days as a student, things become much clearer. Jefferson was a remarkable student, diligent and precocious. He received his first classical education at the grammar school of the Reverend James Mowry. He's an Anglican minister, actually pretty famous. He's the plaintiff in the Parsons or Twopenny cause that would make Patrick Henry famous. He runs a grammar school of about 7 students, each of whom pay about £22 sterling per year in tobacco, and he teaches Latin, Greek, and French. Jefferson recollects these years as a student as, and I quote, reviewing the course of a long and sufficiently successful life, I find no portion of it happier than these. And he studies with Mowry for 2 years, from 1758 to 1760, when he heads off to Williamsburg. And there he begins his tenure on May 25th, 1760. He resides in what was known at the time as the President's House. Now it's called the Wren Building. William & Mary was a rough and tumble sort of place. It had about 100 students and 7 professors. The students were largely teenage gentlemen. The professors were largely celibate, hard-drinking Anglican clergymen. And Jefferson was assigned 2 professors in his first year, the Reverend John Rowe and a fellow by the name of William Small. Rowe quickly is dismissed for getting drunk and getting in a town gown fight in the middle of Williamsburg. So Small is really his only teacher, and he's extremely fortunate. William Small was only at William & Mary for about 6 years, from 1758 to 1764. And he's probably the greatest intellect that taught there at the period, or perhaps even throughout the entire colonial period. He's a brilliant mathematician from Scotland, from Aberdeen. He's fully versed in the Scottish Enlightenment. And he has an immense influence on Jefferson. He takes Jefferson under his wing, both intellectually and socially. Jefferson will write, it was my great good fortune and would probably fix the destinies of my life that Dr. William Small of Scotland was the professor of mathematics, a man profound in most of the useful branches of science, with a happy talent of communication, correct gentlemanly manner, and an enlarged and liberal mind. And Jefferson, in fact, initially has a great avidity for mathematics and natural science, which he takes from Small. Well, Small introduces him to another fellow by the name of George Wythe. George Wythe will later become his law instructor. Jefferson refers to Wythe as a second father. Wythe is a remarkable figure. He's William & Mary's first law professor, probably America's first law professor, and one of America's leading legal scholars of the time. He trains not only Jefferson, but John Marshall, Henry Clay, and James Monroe. Jefferson studies with him for 5 years, 2 as a clerk and 3 reading at Shadwell. Jefferson doesn't just read the traditional works on common law, like Coke on Littleton and Blackstone. He also reads in the philosophy of natural law, Vattel, Pufendorf, Locke, and Grotius, all of whom will figure importantly in the way he uses natural law to argue for independence.